It's Wednesday here on Current State. To start our program today, after months of repercussions stemming from December's ice storm and power outages that affected thousands of its customers, the Lansing Board of Water and Light continues to generate headlines. Some customers complain of overly aggressive tree trimming by the city-owned utility. Others question the justification for a proposed rate hike. In June, the BWL board appeared to violate the state's Open Meetings Act. Meanwhile, the utility moves ahead on dozens of reforms suggested in various performance reviews on its outage management system, communication practices, tree trimming, and revised governance. For his views on these important matters and to update progress on reforms at the utility, we welcome Board of Water and Light General Manager J. Peter Lark.
Good morning, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to Current State. We appreciate your being here. Since it's been in the news a lot recently, let's start with the tree trimming discussion. Some BWL customers, mainly in East Lansing, it appears, have been complaining recently that tree trimming has been too aggressive, that there's been cutting that wasn't necessary. Is that still a topic of discussion between the utility and its customers?
Well, I think, yes, it is, Mark. You know, we have been doing a lot more tree trimming than we have ever done before. As I've said before, the Board of Water and Light is a different utility than it was a year ago. And one of the things we used to do a year ago was we would operate four or five tree trimming crews throughout our region. Since the
Year round.
Okay. Year round, day in, day out, every month, we'd have four or five crews working. And at the time, that seemed to be the optimum amount or optimal amount. However, since the outage, we've been reviewed by a number of outfits, including ourselves, the community review team that's called the CRT, as well as the Public Service Commission. And all three of those entities, particularly the CRT and the PSC, made it clear that we had to be a little bit more aggressive with our tree trimming. And aggressive might be the wrong word, but ambitious. We had to get the job done a little more thoroughly. We had to take out overhanging limbs, which we hadn't been doing in the past. So what we've been doing really now is instead of running four or five crews, we're now running between, depending on how many people are in the truck, between 14 and 18 crews. So Since January or February, we've been really trying to get at those overhanging limbs. You probably don't know it, but during the outage, we had 2,500 lines down. You know, we lost 40% of our system, our distribution system, the most any utility has ever lost. But with 2,500 lines down, you can imagine how much time it took those. I'm sure you well know that it took a long time to get a lot of those lines back. And I think one of the fascinating features or stats is that of those 2,500 lines, do you know how many of those were taken down by tree limbs? Mark, take a guess.
I do not know.
Well, all 2,500. Okay. So our lines are what we call heavy. They meet the heavy standards, which means they'll take a half an inch of ice without going down, even in a windstorm. So the wind didn't knock our lines down. What knocked
trees
the lines
did.
Down were tree trims. And I think that's tree limbs. And I think that's probably no surprise to customers. So Mother Nature has done a lot of tree trimming for us back in the area of December 22nd. But we still have a lot to do. And we've been doing that since January or February.
Well, let's hear from one of those East Lansing residents here. Devin Glass says he has a 75-foot tall pine tree on his property. He complains of both a lack of notice and overly aggressive cutting. Here he is.
It's on my property. I was never notified that it was going to be cut. It also concerns me because the power line that it interfered would not have impacted anyone other than my neighbors. And instead of asking me or my neighbor whether we wanted to cut the tree or do something else. They simply cut the tree. They came onto my property. They cut the tree. They never provided me notice that they were going to cut the tree. And they never allowed me the chance to discuss whether or not that was something that was reasonable.
Peter, how are you responding to customers like Devin?
Well, first of all, we understand that many customers really enjoy their trees, although you'd be surprised. We have many customers who call us, and they really enjoy their electricity. So I think when you talk about the clip that you just ran, we make every effort to make sure that every customer knows what we're up to. By that, I mean what we do is we send out a letter to everybody in that area where we're going to cut trees. Not everybody whose home is going to be affected, but everybody in the neighborhood gets a letter from us. We also have a door hanger that we put on everyone's house whose tree is going to be cut so that they know their tree is going to be cut.
And any idea why he didn't know about this?
No, I have no idea. Because in addition to that, we meet with neighborhood groups. We meet with every single neighborhood group before we go tree cutting. And furthermore, we have a website. And on our website, we list all the places, not only where we are trimming, but where we intend to trim or where we're going to be trimming in the near future. The other thing I think, Mark, that our listeners have to understand from our point of view is that this is really a public safety issue. So I understand perfectly well why customers don't want their trees trimmed. That's perfectly understandable. But on the other hand, we're talking secondary and primary lines that run behind their homes. And those lines can affect 10 people, 100 people, even 1,000 people downline from that customer. So while that customer wants his or her tree to remain, there are people 1,000 homes down from that line, maybe 10 homes, maybe 50, maybe up to 1,000, that have infants in them, that have infirm people, that have elderly people in them. So it's a safety issue. A lot of people have medical conditions that, in fact, require electricity to operate those. And I just want to say as well, too, and I know you want to get a word in, Mark, and of course I'll let you, it's your show, but it's a public safety issue in more ways than just that, because when that wire comes down, there are residents that can be walking around in that vicinity, and they can suffer serious consequences if they interact with that wire.
Have you been more accommodating in the past regarding tree trimming, though? I mean, is there less dialogue now with homeowners over what comes down and what doesn't come down than there has been in the past?
No, Mark. There is more dialogue now than ever before. In fact, I've told my tree trimming people to make sure that if anyone objects to any of our tree trimming, that they back off, come back to the office, and work it through and make sure we know exactly what we're doing and we meet specifically with that customer to make sure that the customer knows exactly what we are doing.
There's a new BWL board president, David Price. Do you expect your working relationship with the board to change with Mr. Price in that position?
Yes, I do.
How?
Well, I don't know exactly yet. I can give you a couple of examples, but really, our prior chair, Sandy Zirkle, I think did a very good job for 4 or 5 years. And so you get kind of used to or accustomed to the way she operates the board. And, of course, I think that's one of the purposes why we try to alternate chairs every now and again to make sure every board member gets an opportunity to get his or her views across to the entire board and the Board of Water and Light as to how the BWL should operate. So I'm looking forward to David's leadership. I think David has a different style than Sandy did, and I'm not saying a better style. I'm saying a different style. And the hope is that when we have different chairs, we have different styles, and they all come together, they complement each other, and we have a better BWL for all of our customers.
He says he wants the board to review the utility's employee evaluation and contract process. Do you expect to be under greater scrutiny with David Price at the top of the board?
Boy, that's hard to say. Let me put it this way. I'm under, a definite level of scrutiny by all 8 of my board members. And I think, Mark, that's as it should be. So, you know, we have meetings where discussions take place about the evaluation and the performance of the general manager, me. And I'd like to say sometimes those evaluations and meetings work very well. Sometimes the board makes it clear that there are some areas that we can improve in. So I don't really expect a different level. I know that our new chair will make sure that the BWL is operating as well as it should be and is a great utility for all of its customers. And I think that the past chair did the same thing. But I think there'll be probably a different level of operation with a new chair than there was with the old chair, as is only normal. And I would expect several years from now, when Chairman Price is no longer the chair, there'll be a whole different level of scrutiny with a new chair. And I think that's a good thing. I think change is a good thing. It keeps all of us on our toes. The idea is we've been trying to make the BWL a much better utility, actually, since I've been here, but particularly since December 22nd, with respect to some of the communications and operational issues we've had. And I think every time you bring a new chair in to take a little closer look at things, that can only be good.
We're talking with Peter Lark, General Manager of the Lansing Board of Water and Light. Let's talk about some of the many reforms that the utility has embarked on. There were well over 100 contained in all of the reviews that were done. You performed an internal review. There was the Public Service Commission, and there was the Community Review Team, the CRT. Most recently, you announced a new app, and you had a chance to put it into practice yesterday here, in just a matter of hours ago. What is this app about?
Well, first of all, the app is a great thing, and I'm finding, to show you how great it is, the news media is using it a lot, too, and you'll see it sometimes on the TVs. They will run our app to show where there are outages. What it is it's an app, it's free, and it's available at the Apple or Android stores. I recommend everyone in the BWL territory get it. I'm looking at my iPhone right in front of me. I can touch that button, and within 5 seconds, I can tell you how many outages we have. And if you, for the particular customer, of course, they've got to log in their own personal data. They can find out what's going on at their own home. So you can bring that up within seconds, and you will see next to the icon where your home is, an icon saying, do you wish to report an outage? All you have to do is hit that button, and you've reported an outage. You can look through by census tract where there are other outages that don't involve your particular house. It'll tell you times of restoration. So this is another great avenue by which our customers can communicate with us and tell us they have an outage, and they can also learn more information as to when the restoration is going to take place. And finally, they can learn if power comes back on.
What about the larger outage management system? Because this got a lot of attention in the CRT report. It wasn't working during the ice storm. Its problems were cited by the CRT. What about the larger system?
Yes, we call it the Outage Management System, the OMS. That now has been stress tested to handle 100% of our to handle the BWL losing 100% of our customers. I don't think that's ever going to happen in our time. I'm hoping we lost 40% of our customers, which was the largest any utility has ever lost in Michigan. But it has now been stress tested and repeatedly to make sure that it is operating, and that in fact, even if we lost all of our customers, the outage management system, or what we call the OMS, would work satisfactorily.
So if an ice storm happened tomorrow, would the BWL be able to produce an accurate, up-to-date outage map?
Absolutely. And it would produce it in a number of places, one of which is our website. But more importantly, it's this mobile app that I'm holding up right now. Honestly, this app gives us a third way for customers to get into our system. We have the 877 number. We have the website. We have this app. And I'll give you a little bit of breaking news, Mark. In the next few weeks, we're going to announce a text service to get into the BWL. So after reviewing all of the utilities in the United States, we are going to be among only a handful that have four ways in which a customer can get into the BWL. It's really something super.
A few weeks ago, Lansing City Council President Aileen Bowles told our listeners that a rate hike has been approved and will be in the BWL's 2015 budget. Is a rate hike a done deal?
Absolutely not. Mark, I am recommending, and my staff at the BWL is recommending to our board, our commissioners, that we have a rate increase. However, there will be, I believe, three more hearings between now and then before that is a done deal. And as I'm sure you know, Mark, but just so your listeners know, Peter Lark does not set the rates at the BWL.
I know. This involves the board.
Right. Not only involves them, I can give them suggestions. They'll make the decision. So probably, I think, three more hearings yet to go, and we expect to have customer input. We've always had customer input, but we haven't had a rate increase, a base rate increase. This is the third year. There have been cost of living adjustments that have had to be made by the BWL, not to mention storm hardening. So a lot of the things we've done, all this tree trimming, the 14 to 18 crews rather than 4 to 5, that costs money. The hiring of additional line crew, the customer service representatives, the social media experts, and the other people we've hired costs money. So some of this costs money. I expect for the average residential customer, that'll be about $2.50 a month, or I like to say 8 cents a day.
This got real confusing, though, because Aileen Bowles said the public hearing on the rate hike, as you said, there are three more public hearings still scheduled on this. But she insisted that the budget process actually preceded the hearings. The cart was before the horse, so to speak, and that the rate increase has already been approved. You're saying that's not the case.
Well, it's absolutely not the case that the rate increase has been approved. But I think, Mark, what she's referring to, and of course I didn't hear the comments, I don't believe, but when we put together a budget for the next year, we try to attempt to figure, is there going to be a rate increase or is there not going to be a rate increase? We assumed that there would be a rate increase, so we added a number in there for a rate increase in our budget. So yes, and the budget has been approved, but that does not mean the rate increase has been approved. And I can tell you, this is my eighth year here, and I've gone through a number of rate increase requests, and I can't tell you for sure, but pretty much anecdotally, very rarely are the rate recommendations that I propose accepted exactly as I propose them. But still, for budgeting purposes, we have to figure out in the next year, what do we expect our revenues will be?
She also suggested here, and again, we're talking about Lansing City Council President Aileen Bowles. She also suggested here that the rate hike that has been proposed is inappropriate. She claimed that the various reviews of the utility's performance following the ice storm recommended, she said, 168 different reforms, that about 100 of them had begun, and that it would be a long time before they were all acted on. Here's how she concluded.
Before you ever have the conversation or discussion as a board about a rate increase, you would want to rebuild that trust and fill the gap that exists right now between what happened and moving forward.
So she argues that any rate hike is extremely premature under these circumstances. You would maintain it's not.
Well, I would maintain that that'll be a question for the board to make a determination. You know, we do have probably $5 million in storm hardening expenses. And as far as getting the word out to customers, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm here. We've done an epic MRA poll, and we've indicated to our in the poll, we've asked the customers questions about, are the things we've done operationally and communications-wise the sorts of things that customers want? And the number is 93%. So,
But does that equate to a rate hike? Does that mean they're willing to undergo a rate hike with any memories of the power outages and all the other drama following the ice storm?
Well, what it means is they're very, very supportive of the kinds of changes we've made. And I've indicated to you that these changes are not, they do not come inexpensively. They cost money. And so that's one part of the rate increase, but that's not the whole entirety of the rate increase. We also need more money because it's been several years since we've had a rate increase. We have a lot of infrastructure at the BWL that depreciates as the years go on and that have to be replaced. We have a return on equity that we pay to the city that has gone up from 4 to 5 to 6.1%. All of these things cost money for the Board of Water and Light.
Last month, it appears that your contract was reapproved, apparently in violation of the State Open Meetings Act. Discussions were mainly limited to phone calls and emails. I've got to ask you about this. How does it feel to know that your contract got extended in that way? What's your perspective on this?
Well, Mark, I'm smiling only a little bit because this is one of those things where I'm not sure the media quite has it right, because my contract wasn't extended. In fact, my contract wasn't altered at all. My contract was entered into a year ago, so I don't, maybe 15 months ago at this point. So it wasn't the subject of any of those, the Open Meetings Act questions or issues that are swirling around, or that were swirling around the BWL at one time. Should not, I don't know, because I can't speak for my board and exactly what they did, but there was no new contract for me, or different contract, or change to my contract. All that was done with respect to my appointment was that under the city charter, every year I have to be reappointed by the board, and the board did reappoint me.
Okay, so that is the word you would use, is you were reappointed by the board.
Well, that is what happened.
Right, but and that is not subject to the provisions of the State's Open Meeting Act, any discussions involving a reappointment?
Well, again, we're getting into legal matters that I don't know if I'm that equipped to answer, but I would say that my reappointment was done totally in public at a board meeting, and the reappointment, I would say, could not have violated the Open Meetings Act. That's just me. But you'd have to talk to somebody else, because I'm not really familiar with that argument.
You know, the board has been an awful lot more in the news lately due to incidents like what I just brought up. How have these recent incidents involving the board affected your ability to do your job?
Well, it's funny. I occasionally get that question, Mark, but before I had this job, I was the chairman of the Public Service Commission, and before that I was the state's utility consumer advocate, and before that I was just a plain old lawyer. So I'm not really a stranger to people disagreeing with my positions. Let me say this, it's never good. You want the BWL, the company I represent, to always have the highest reputation. And when you don't see it having the finest reputation, it's somewhat dispiriting. But you ask me about me personally. What I try to do in the morning is I get up and I put my clothes on every day, and I put a smile on my face and go into work and try to do the very best job I can for all of my customers.
What are your interactions like with your customers, you know, person to person? What have they been like lately?
I think the interactions have largely been very positive person to person with customers. I have been out, for example, at one of the customers that we had a problem with when it comes to tree trimming out in East Lansing. And I don't recall her name, but we went and toured her property, and I thought it was very positive, and I think we came to a very good resolution. In fact, that's what we're trying to do, Mark. We're trying to come to resolutions with all of these customers and working hard to satisfy what they want accomplished when it comes to tree trimming, and hopefully there's a way that they can meet their goal of the aesthetic aspect that they're interested in at their home, and hopefully we can meet our goal of following what the CRT and the PSC, Community Review Team, and the Public Service Commission have so clearly told us that we have to do.
I'll point out that East Lansing Mayor Nathan Triplett is apparently listening to the program here today, and he just texted us that he still characterizes the notice, tweeted that the notice given by the utility he would describe as inadequate. That is his word. And any response to that you haven't made clear already?
Well, I have a great deal of respect for Mayor Triplett, and if there is another way that we could give notice to him, I'd certainly like to hear about it. As I've said, when it comes to any customer who has a problem with the BWL's tree trimming practices, we are more than happy to come out. Our arborist, as well as the leaders of our tree trimmers, come out and discuss all of these problems or any of these problems with any of the customers. And as I said, Mark, try to work out some arrangement whereby their aesthetic sensibilities are taken care of, while the public good, the public service, the public safety issues that are so important here are also satisfied.
You were under a lot of pressure to resign. You have been under a lot of pressure to resign. Did you ever come close to resigning?
No, Mark. It's pretty much what I said earlier. You know, what I've said earlier, both today and at other places, I look at the job of a CEO as sort of like find problems, fix them, and make sure they don't happen again. That's what I enjoy doing. That's why I enjoy my job. You know, I used to work for Governor Granholm, and I remember when things would get a little dicey there, she would say, don't look at these things as problems or obstacles. Look at them as opportunities. And that's really what I've done. As I've said before, I'm repeating myself a little bit, but these are problems. These are obstacles. They're things that need to be solved. That's what you need a good CEO for. And that's what I do. As I said, every morning I put my clothes on, put a smile on my face, go into the BWL, and try to make it a better place.
The snow and ice storm season returns in a few months. Are you personally confident that the Board of Water and Light will respond adequately and professionally if another ice storm were to wipe out power to thousands of your customers?
Absolutely. We are a completely different utility when it comes to operationally answering storms like that and communication-wise. Now, again, this was the largest storm that's ever hit a utility. We're the only utility to ever lose 40% of our lines. That's a major storm. I have to be honest with you, Mark. I'm not expecting that again. I've been through a number of outages since I started about 7 or 8 years ago here. But if we should have another one of the magnitude we did before, you will see the BWL being a completely different utility, handling the outage in a much better way, getting power back to customers more quickly. That's the design, getting power back to customers more quickly. And we can do that now. But, you know, also as important as that, Mark, is the communications. We now have the ability to have our customers call us or contact us within seconds, and they're going to get information back from us within seconds. And the information won't be able to tell them that very minute that you'll be back in 30 minutes. But it will give you a default time, and then when we send a crew out, the crew will be able to determine, well, that's a three-hour fix. We will put that on our website. We will put that on our mobile app, so a customer will know exactly what's going on. They'll know they're out. They'll know it's coming back in a certain amount of time, and also we'll be able to tell them, particularly if they have that app, it's so easy, exactly when the power comes back. So no or yes, in answer to your question, we're a different utility. We're better prepared operationally and communications for the next outage, and we will do a better job for our customers.
Peter Luck is the general manager of Lansing's Board of Water and Light. Many thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Mark. Always good to see you.